Blog Talk Radio.
Juice. Make sure it's organic popcorn too. Now, don't get the bootleg popcorn. Okay. Once again, I'm your guest. Wait a minute. I'm your host. I'm about to bring on the guest. I'm so sorry. I'm thinking ahead. I'm your host, Forrest Nance. Grown folks talk and express yourself. Welcome to another episode. It's gonna be a power packed. I mean, it's gonna be heavy hitter tonight. But then again, we always bring you heavy hitters anyway. You know. My first guest, ladies and gentlemen, by the way, shout out to Brother Wally if he's listening, because he's the one responsible for Professor Jeffries, who's come on at 7:30. But in the meantime, without further ado, I'm going to bring on my first guest. This brother goes by the name of Carl Wagner, and he's going to do a bio on himself. And any questions that have to be asked, I'll ask him, but he's basically going to give you guys a heads up as to his organization and what he does. So without further ado, all right, I'm not going to hold everybody up. Once again, before I bring on Carl, I just want to say thank you for your support on the green tea. You know it's the best in the world, and the reason why I say it's the best in the world, because you know the green tea has the highest form of ECGC. You want a discount, go on my Facebook page, order the green tea, you'll love it. For the rest of your life, you'll be drinking Dr. Lee's green tea. All right, on my Facebook page, you get a discount with the code number on there. All right, so without further ado, my man Carl. Carl, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Forrest.
All right, my man. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get his brother the format. This is Mr. Carl Wagner, and he's going to tell you what he's all about. Carl, the stage is yours.
Thank you, thank you. Forrest, it's an honor to be here.
Thank you. Honored to have you.
Yeah, I don't have much to say about myself. I'm just a little guy, you know?
So am I. We're both little guys on a big platform.
Yeah. Yeah, so what happened with me was I got invited to be part of this board for a nonprofit called Beat Cancer. That's beatcancer.org is the web address, but the actual name of the organization is Center for Advancement in Cancer Education, and they've been around for 40 plus years. And in fact, the guy who's running the green tea business, Dr. Lee's Green Tea, he's an old friend of mine, and he was also on the board for a while. And anyway, the founder, Susan Silverstein, and I'll talk to you a little bit about her in a minute. she was excellent at what she was doing. She for 40 years coached people and doctors, lay people, medical people, everybody about how to deal with cancer naturally, and how to sometimes even reverse cancer. It was incredible. And she was out there on the speaking trail and one-on-one for 40-plus years. But she wasn't very good at running the business. So when they said they needed somebody to step up and help out and run the business, I guess I was fooling around with my phone or something, and everybody took a step backwards, and there I was standing in front. So that's what happened with me. So one of the reasons, or I guess the main reason that everybody was on the board, is that they were affected by cancer. There's hardly anybody we know that hasn't been affected by cancer in one way or another, either a friend or a loved one that had cancer, or maybe even passed on from cancer. My mother, she died of cancer, and her father died of cancer, and her mom's second husband died of cancer. So it was pretty prevalent, and then it wasn't bloodline. So let me talk a little bit more about the organization, but that was a little bit about me. Always been interested in health. So, but Susan Silverstein, who started this organization in 1977, she was a young woman, married, and had two young babies, and she was going to school for her PhD, and her husband got a very rare and aggressive cancer. And that was kind of where her life changed course forever. And she didn't know what to do, and the doctors weren't giving her any help. They were just kind of basically, you know, saying he was going to die. And so she hit the books, and at that time there was no Google. There wasn't any internet. So she was there in college already. So she went to the medical libraries, and what she found was that there was natural ways of dealing with cancer. Well, it was too late for her husband. He did pass. And pretty quickly, but she didn't want anybody to go through what she went through. She wanted to then be able to help, because she found a way that people could prevent cancer or even reverse cancer in certain cases. So let me tell you what we believe here at Beat Cancer, our Center for Advancement in Cancer Education. It's that 90% of all cancers can be eliminated through environmental and lifestyle choices alone. Do you ever hear anything like that before? Forrest? Did I lose you? Hello, hello?
Yeah, I'm here. I was just writing something down. What were you saying?
It said that 90% of all cancers can be eliminated through environmental and lifestyle choices alone. You ever hear anything like that?
The lifestyle, yeah. And environment, that's always the case with global warming and all this stuff going on, yeah.
Yeah, so that's actually, you know, that's actually our belief statement, and
mm-hmm.
that's backed up by science. And
right.
There was an abstract that was written by Cytokine Research Laboratory Department in MD Anderson in Texas. And and all the big organizations actually backed this up, that only 5 to 10% of all cancers can be attributed to genetic defects. So people say, oh, it's in my genes.
That's not true necessarily.
Not necessarily, no. No, and
no.
Even if it is, it doesn't mean that it has to manifest itself. It just means you have a predisposition for
mm-hmm.
it. But a lot of times people, they change their lifestyle from the way that their parents live to a more healthy lifestyle, and those genes don't kick in. And there's other people that have cancer. We've seen this happen over and over again, where the tumor just never gets any larger. It just
mm-hmm.
they just live with it for the rest of their lives and manage it just like they do diabetes. So, 5 to 10% of all cancers are from your genes. And even if it is, it doesn't mean that you have to die from it. You can live a very healthy life, and that's what we hear mostly from people that come and talk with our on-staff naturopathic doctor, is that they've never felt so healthy since they had cancer. they changed their life, and Now they're pretty healthy people, despite the cancer. So we can never say that we cure cancer. That would just put a big target on our back. We don't do that. We help people to get their bodies into a state where it's inhospitable to cancer. Does that make sense? I keep thinking I'm losing you, but you're probably just on mute. Hello?
Okay, yeah. I'm here, but, yeah. But basically, as far as the questions, what I was going to do was I was going to let you talk to the audience for at least a good 15 minutes, and then any questions, we could just do the back of the view with you, right? I always let the person, when they come on, talk to my podcast audience about their points, and then go, you know, but you're doing good, man. You got another 5 minutes. Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'm happy to do this, but like I said, I was never the front man. I was always the guy behind the curtain, making sure that the wheels don't fall off the bus.
Well, we're going to bring out a part of you that you never thought you had, so go right ahead. Keep going. Because you're doing good. You're doing good. You and I talk all the time. I built you up for my podcast audience. I said, look, I've been talking to Carl since John gave me his number. And like I said, you just give him your little script, you know. And at the time, I'm sorry, I had to walk away because you know how birds are in the house. Yeah, I knew him walking. I got to put the cover over. I just put the cover over and got calmed down for a while. But go right ahead, Carl. Go ahead. Just another 5 minutes, and, you know, we can do a Q&A. It's no problem. Go ahead.
I'll let you know what the mission is then of our organization, because that was our belief statement, that we believe in your body, and people are treated as a person and not as the tumor. And what we do, our mission is to provide people with research-based education. That's the big thing, research-based. Everything we put on our blog, everything we put into a book, it has an actual report or a study that was done that's attributed to that fact. So nothing's a matter of opinion. It's all a matter of facts. And what we do with that education is we help people to prevent or cope with or even beat cancer through diet, lifestyle, and other immune boosting approaches. So that's the crux of our organization. And for 40 years, Susan just recently retired. She was the speaker for our organization. She would do upwards of 40 live seminars every year. And this was before Zoom. She had to travel all over the place, like a crazy person. And she spoke in front of audiences that were all medical professionals or audiences just like you and me, just people that were interested in health and prevention. She was a great catalyst. She was basically, she bootstrapped it right from the very beginning, literally knocking on doors and approaching people to see if she could get in and talk. And that's what she did. Now, what the organization does is for at no charge, because we're a nonprofit, of course, donations are accepted. That helps us keep the lights on. But for no charge, people can call up and talk to our naturopathic doctor and get on a program with her as an individual and deal with their cancer issues. So that's what we do now on the inside. And then recently, Susan retired. She's going on to be with her grandbabies and enjoy her retirement. And what we've done with the organization is, before she left, we put together a course for people to become cert. What? Something just happened there.
No, it's all right.
To become certified holistic cancer coaches. Now it's not a course that teaches you everything, but it's everything she learned in the last 35 years of in-the-field knowledge. This isn't like the new flavor of the week, new diet, new book. She's been doing this and has seen results over the past 35, 40 years, and she put it all in one place so that her message could be spread. And that's the whole idea, is that every new coach that I put through the course now becomes a mini Susan. And it spreads a message, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to cast a wider net, right? So each one of those coaches is like a pebble thrown into a pond, and then the ripple effect happens. That person gets healthy, family gets healthy, friends get healthy, and the message from Beat Cancer moves on. And if I do a good job as a CEO, I can step down someday, leave all the systems in place, and the next person can step in, and Beat Cancer can go on way beyond my years. So that's the goal.
Now, Carl, I want to say this, all right, because you shared your family history. And just to share mine, because I think I mentioned in the early part of when I first came on with my podcast that my mother, when I was 19, she passed at a young age. She was 42. She had pancreatic cancer. And the thing is, right, is that my mother smoked, but that's one habit that I never picked up. I never got high. I never did drugs a day in my life. A black man in America, yes, I didn't do those things. So I'm proud to say that, and I pat myself on the back because I've always looked at people. I've always been in the environment because I'm right here in Newark, New Jersey, and I've always been in the environment where you see the junkie, you know, nodding out at the on the block. You know, look like he's about to fall. Never falls. You leave him there, and you come back half an hour later, he's still in that same position, nodding out. People smoked. I always looked at people and said, why are they inhaling smoke? The body is not designed for smoke. So why are they injecting? And then, you know, when you talk to people, I've got to smoke, you know, why do you do that? Well, it helps relieve me. Well, I told them, I said, well, get down and do 200 push-ups. Take some branched-chain amino acids. Then you'll feel better after that. You're doing something healthy, not something that will jeopardize you getting cancer. Because let me tell you something. It's a scary thing. I had an aunt that was a chain smoker. And when I went to see her in the hospital, man, you know, I had to leave the room after a while, you know, because the doctor came in, rolled the sheet back and pulled her leg back. Her leg was as big as my pinky. That certain things in life, you know, stay etched in your mind. You never forget those horrific sights from families, especially people that you love. That was one of my favorite aunts, you know. So, yeah, and then she was a chain. And I always asked her, I said, Auntie, come on now. She's like, mind your business. That was their generation. They always told you, mind your business. I'll do what I want to do. And I said, oh, hey, okay, fine. But, you know, it was just love speaking out to her, you know. And I know she didn't want to go. Don't get me wrong, family. I say this to the podcast. That's why I bring on Health and Healing, Brother Rashad, Brother Michael. We had the Reverend Phil Valentine on. This is why I bring to my podcast, family, a health and healing session. And also we got to do better, not just with social issues, but you see, Carl is my brother from another mother, all right? And I always tell people on the podcast, because I have different ethnicities that listen in, it's not the color of your skin, it's the color of your, it's the content of your character, all right? Now, this gentleman right here is of the persuasion other than African-American or black, but he's coming with a message. So color does not matter, all right? If you have a progressive mindset, we're on each other's team. That's the way I look at it. It's like the Gail Sayers. Help me here, Carl. Who was the other guy? God, Gail Sayers, who was the other guy that he was, his teammate had cancer, but Billy Dee Williams started that with James Cameron. What was the name of that picture? Help me, Carl. Come on. You don't know. Oh, boy, you got to start watching TCM.
I'm not great with sports.
Hey, listen, you better watch TCM. No, it was a story that came on. It was the you know, well, Rashad will probably tell me because Rashad's up on the movies too when we get on here. But anyway, Gail Sayers, as you know, he played for the Chicago Bears back in the day. He was black, and also his comrade was white, but his friend was struck down with cancer, and he was there for him. I forgot the name of that stuff. But anyway, it was
Brian Song.
There it is. Hey, Google that, Carl, when you get a chance. Brian Song. That brought a tear to my eye in the end. But what I'm saying, family, is listen, this is why we always try to tell you to do better with your diet, all right? People would rather lose their religion than change their diet. All right, I was sitting in the physical therapist's office, and this lady, before she left, she put an order in. She said, "I would like to get some beef bacon, grits with butter, French toast, and waffles." Now, I was like, "Are you kidding me, lady? that not one thing did she say in that it was nutritional. I mean, but every now and then, I guess in moderation. I don't want to step on Michael's toes out there. I know he's listening. But the grits, which is nothing but a white starch, which will clog your arteries. And then all the sugar and the waffles. And you know French toast and waffles. You're going to put the sugar on top of that. Oh, Lord. And they want to know why we have high blood pressure out here, diabetes, and the kids got it now. And what makes it so bad, Carl, growing up, we were always outside playing. We got mad when our mothers used to call us in back in the day. The street light went out, that mean you back in the house. Or when, I'm sorry,
yeah.
When the street light came on, you had to be in the house. Not today. Not today. And it's just
hey,
a shame.
You got to kick them out today. Get outside.
Yeah. Most people, they're looking down their phones when they're walking, and that's it. So like I said, family, listen, we got to do better. We got to do better when it comes to dying. You got to, listen, you got to have the diligence and you got to have the wherewithal and you also have the strength, all right, to, because you control yourself. You can't, no, oh, the food is, no, the food ain't calling you, all right? What you have to do is push yourself away, abandon bad habits and adopt good habits. There's so many good vegan, vegetarian, and all right, if you want to have a little meat every now and then, but do it in moderation, family, all right? Because we can get into the science, and Carl knows the science about the glycation, what can create acrylamides when you cook meat. But like I said, I'm not trying to get anybody this. I don't want nobody saying, Forrest and Carl told me to stop eating. No, eat what you want, all right? just be smart about it. Do your homework. Don't take my word for it, Carl's word, Rashad, all right? Do your homework. That's very, very important because that's all that matters. But, Carl, go ahead. I'm going to let you finish up.
I'm
not trying to steal the spotlight, but, you know, like I said, you're little man. I want you to get used to this because, Carl, you know you got to come back again. We're going to bring Carl back again, family.
Yeah,
because
you never get through everything all at one time.
Exactly. No, yeah, there's always a new page to turn every day in life. So I know what you don't may not be privy to today. Oh, by the way. While I got you, this is what I wanted to ask you. I want you to share this with my podcast family, all right? Ivermectin, can you give my podcast family, because what we talk about, the shot, the jab, and everybody's entitled to do what you want to do. I'm not anti-vaccine. I just want to make sure it works, all right? And from the reports and from things, from what I hear, and I just don't watch mainstream news. I watch, and I've shared this with the podcast family. You got to go to alternative news, all right? Then do your homework because they're not reporting everything that they should be reporting. But
no,
they have a bias for sure. Yeah, of course they do. Could you please tell people about ivermectin? Because they try to downplay that by saying, oh, you know, it's for the animals. No, it's not. It's for human consumption. It's over the. Tell them about ivermectin. This gentleman purchased some ivermectin, by the way. Tell them about ivermectin and what's your take on it, Carl?
Well, yeah, it was, you know, the scientist is a Nobel Peace Prize winner, and there's been millions of doses used all over the world for, 40 years, however long it's been?
Mm-hmm.
And it's been around. It's, you know, they're sure, they can use it for horses, but they use, what's that, glycosamine or whatever for,
mm-hmm.
for your joints. They use
glucosamine.
That for horses, too,
right?
Yeah, so, but what I understand about it, not from a chemist's perspective, is, but just from reading the reports, is that there's not been one death from ivermectin, not one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's number one, and that's something they try to say. There's overdoses. From taking the horse medicine. Well, you know, every time they say stuff like that, it turns out court once the facts come out.
Right.
You know, that turns out that wasn't true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and people were calling, they were saying people were calling in Kentucky the Center for Disease Control about overdoses. They were actually just asking, how much should I take?
Right, right.
Nobody actually got sick from it.
Mm-hmm.
And they tried to make it sound like it was a bunch of calls, but it turned out to be like 7 or something incredible like that. But it's not just ivermectin in the case of COVID, from what I understand. It's a regimen. So you've got
mm-hmm.
vitamin D, you got zinc. And zinc, I think, is probably the big factor because it actually
right.
stops the RNA from reproducing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really – but the ivermectin – as I understand it, is like the transport vehicle that gets it into the cell.
Right.
Does that make sense? So,
yeah.
So the zinc can't get in there so good without the ivermectin. And even hydrochloroquine is part of that idea, too. That was the idea, but it was demonized. And, you know, all these things that hopefully will come out someday is that, you know, a lot of deaths could have been prevented if people were told there was an early treatment protocol before going to the hospital. Because I got COVID, and I was down for, whatever, 5 days. I stayed quarantined for 10, but I was down for 5 of them. And I didn't know any of this stuff. They just said if you get worse and you can't breathe, go to a hospital.
Well, right.
And then they put you on a ventilator, and most people don't get off the ventilator. It's already too late by the time you get to the hospital. So I have a bad feeling in my stomach that a lot of these people didn't have to die. That's just my personal opinion. That's not scientific facts. That's just from what I read.
Well, there was a Dr. Yeadon who came on the program, the Gary Noh program, which I was turning on to Gary Noh because he has a wealth of information on his .com and Gary Noh Live. But the thing is, right, is that he stated in front of the Senate that he treated the onset of COVID in his patients, along, like you said, with the cocktail, quercetin, vitamin C was very important,
yep.
along with those other natural remedies you were talking about. And the word he used was, I never forgot, he said, obliterated the rest of it. He said it got rid of the COVID, the symptoms of the COVID, all right?
Yep.
So there is
yep.
an alternative. There is no alternative. And just think, we always talk, Carl, what about all the false positives?
Oh, yeah.
You know, people thought, I got to take the shot now, you know? And now they're talking about all these boosters, and, you know, this variant thing is going to go on and on and on forever. I don't think life is going to be the way it used to be, Carl. I really don't. I really think
Omicron is a big nothing burger, and they're making it out to be like the next reason we shut down everything. But another thing is that you know, people like Joe Rogan and some sports stars, they did this protocol, and all the people start crying about, oh well, he's rich, of course he can afford all that. I got to tell you, I got enough for two full courses of adult-sized people, 150 pounds plus, for 2 weeks for $25.
Oh, yeah? Oh.
Yeah, and you can go to myfreedoctor.com or something like that. And there's other places, FLCCC.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get an online doctor. That's probably going to cost you a couple of bucks. I think that costs about $70 to get prescribed from an online doctor. And then it'll go right to your pharmacy. And you just get it with your medical plan.
Well, because in certain states, I heard you can't purchase it. But in states like Texas, I heard, it's over the counter. No problem.
Yeah, if you can't get it from a mainline pharmacy, There's what's called compound pharmacies, and they'll try to find you one of those where they'll make it up for you.
There you go.
So these sites are a wealth of information, and they're willing to help you.
Yeah. Well, family, you heard it here, all right? Now, you know, time is always flying, Carl. Next time you come back, you know, since you've gotten a little over the jitters, because we're going to have to build you up now, you're going to have to grow on with us on the podcast. Next time you come back, all right, we'd like to have you back for a whole hour instead of just 30 minutes. I wanted to introduce you to my podcast family. You know, you and I are always going to stay in contact anyway. This is my brother from another mother, y'all. All right. So with that being said, in conclusion, why don't you give the people who are listening your information, because they might have a loved one stricken by cancer or someone they need to consult with pertaining to this particular deadly disease.
Right. Well, you can always find us online if you have a computer, if you're of the age that has a computer or a cell phone. And we're at Beat Cancer, BEAT, cancer.org. Now, it's very important to get the .org on the end because you go to .net, that's not us. They're just trying to hustle for money. And .com might take you to the American Cancer Society, which is totally the opposite of what we do.
Exactly.
So
exactly. All them billions of dollars they got, and they still don't have a cure. You know.
Oh no. Well, then they'd be out of a job, wouldn't they?
Yeah, exactly. You know. So with that being said, because my next guest will be coming on shortly, peace and blessings to you, Carl. Hey, ladies and gentlemen,
let me,
this is
let me
my
give
man.
You a toll, let me give you a toll-free number real quick so you don't want to call
ahead.
In.
Okay,
yeah.
Good.
That's 1-888-551-2223. They can call toll-free.
One more time, Carl.
1-888-551-2223.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mr. Carl Wagner. Like I said, if you got any situation pertaining to what we discussed tonight, please give this man a call. All right, he's doing good work. He's helping people. And like I said, he's going to he's down to earth. I've been talking to him. He passes my test. All right, I'm nobody big. I'm a small man just like him. But like I said, I try to bring relevant people onto this podcast. I'm trying to give back to the community, okay? So I always tell you, pen and pad, you got the information. Carl, you have a wonderful evening. Peace and blessings to you and your family. And we're going to bring you back shortly. I'll be in contact with you.
Thank you. Thank you, Forrest. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Carl. And you take care and be safe out there.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. Jada, we have Professor Jeffries on.
One second. I don't see that number yet.
You don't see it?
Nope. Not
okay.
Yet.
I play a little music and
okay.
Okay, yeah, play a little music. Let me call this number, man, see who the heck he is.
Up this morning feeling magnificent, strong, black, and powerful, ready to represent for my peoples, all day, every day, check the resume, I live these words, it's not just wordplay, time to lift and uplift with power and strength, so without hesitation, I'm shooting my gift, I do this for the love and not for the fame, by keeping it real and staying true to the game, that's why I'm always brainstorming, always in hustle mode, always on top of my game, throwing these lyrical body blows, back in the day, I used to write battle rhymes all the time, now the only thing I'm battling is this messed up system, that's trying to stop my people from listening to the realness, afraid they might feel this, and take off some skinny jeans, put back on the red, black, and green, and elevate the self to be kings and queens, the natural being, and live out their purpose to the fullest extreme. This ain't hate music, it's love supreme, and we manifest the movement by any means.
For the love, yes, I do.
I'm hard on these beats cause it's hard on these streets. But if I can't rock these beats, I don't wanna rock at all. If I can't elevate my people, then I take the fall. See, I ain't trying to waste your time and I ain't trying to waste mine. So every time I spit, lyrically divine. Just wanna use what the Most High gave me to keep my people like that mental slavery. I recognize the system ain't designed for us, so naturally they wanna see us self-destruct. But we rising above, changing our whole perspective. Even the peace and love movement has been resurrected. But we ain't just talking just to be talking. We show improve through our daily moves, taking our stand for the righteous and truth. So for the young nation, elevation, and elevation without hesitation. Peace and blessings for every situation. The world is yours with hard work and dedication. This ain't hate music, it's love supreme, and we manifest a movement by any means.
For the love, yes I do it for the love. Everything that I do, yes I do it for the love.
Love and the
fashion and not just the fashion. Now watch the positive flow become a chain reaction. No tricks up the sleeve, no hocus pocus. All I see and just keep the sight focused. Skin is black, but there's no handicap. Still walking the path of the right and exact. Living what I'm speaking is truth that I'm seeking. Suckers creeping and sleeping, but I keep reaching for success. Elevating to my best. Shoot the gift because I'm black.
All right, family, we're back, we're back, we're back, all right? We promise you Professor Jeffries. I just talked to his assistant, and he'll be on shortly. The brother is all over the place. When I talked to him, he said they wanted to take him. He said they wanted him in Egypt and in the UNIA, which y'all know is Nelson Mandela's organization over in South Africa. This brother is a walking encyclopedia, so we're blessed to have him tonight. So bust open the popcorn. We're not starting at exactly 7:30 with the brother, but we're waiting for him to come. He might have to catch his breath before he comes on. But in the meantime, my panel is here. We got Brother Rashad. Brother Rashad, you there?
Yes.
All right. We got Brother Michael. Brother Michael, you there?
I'm here.
All right. That's my man. We also have Brother Ishmael Shabazz. Are you there, Brother Ishmael? Ishmael? Say, is Ishmael on? Hold on, family. Be a little patient because we're waiting to get that
no,
that
Ishmael,
number.
No, Ishmael isn't on yet for us.
He's not there? Oh, I thought
no,
he was.
No,
okay,
no,
well,
no,
what
no.
about 0242?
Yeah, she's in.
Okay. Sister Carolyn, you there?
Yes, I am.
Mic check, mic check. All right. Hey, that's right, everybody. We finally got a lady on the panel, because usually it's all brothers, but we got to start incorporating the sisters on the panel, all right? But anyway, family, we're waiting for Professor Jeffries to come on. And in the meantime, okay, brother, by the way, I just want to make a quick announcement before Brother Jeffries comes on. We're waiting for him. My technician let me know when he calls in. We'll be open next Christmas, y'all, all right? And we respect everybody's belief in the holiday. If you celebrate it, that's your business. We don't discuss religion on here, all right? So next week, and the brother might give you a quick rundown on what's going to happen next Saturday. So just spread the word. We will be on next Saturday and New Year's Day, all right? We're going to bring the new year in right. So how can we take the day off? But next Saturday, which is Christmas Day, all right? Brother Rashad will be bringing in Death by Medicine. It's posted on my Facebook page. Brother Rashad, you want to give them a brief little synopsis of what to expect next Saturday?
Yes, peace and blessings, my brother, and listen, audience. Yes, I was watching for the third time Death by Medicine by Gary Noel, and he speaks about how many people are over-medicated and they die in the hospital and all the different things that all these medications, how it's affecting the people and stuff. So the video is about an hour and a half, but there's so much information on there. You just really need to hear this, okay? So it's very, very important. You got to see what medical drugs does to people, okay, and how they, you know, manipulate and just sell people on this stuff instead of just trying to get them to do the natural thing, which they are opposed to. So it's very informative, and I think you would really enjoy it, everybody, if you just, you know, just take a listen, please. You'll be educated. You will be truly educated after listening to this video, I guarantee you. And you'll have second thoughts about how, you go about seeing a doctor and them prescribing drugs. You always have to ask questions. You have to find out what side effects are with these drugs and how they affect you. You have to know these things. You really have to know these things. But I hope you all tune in. Because I'm going to tell you, it's very, very informative. And for us also, the doctor you just had on,
mm-hmm.
he's right on point. And it's good that, you know, you asked him about ivermectin because it's, everything he says is true. You know, our people got to wake up. You can't let the media program and brainwash you about this. They tell you about the ivermectin that's made for the horses, but there's the human form, and that's what you have to look at, and they never tell you about that. And then that remdesivir, which Dr. Fauci was pushing, is so expensive, it's ridiculous, and it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. But ivermectin is pennies on the dollar, and it works. So there's a big difference, you know. And I just got the book, The Real Anthony Fauci today,
right,
by Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And listen, audience, you all should order that book. You want to see what Anthony Fauci is really about. And this is no, everything he'd give you is factual. Got footnotes, got names and everything. And he can only write a book like that, giving out truth, because if he were to lie about these things, he'd be sued to death, believe me. But everything is factual in there. That's why this book's a bestseller. There's so much information there. Our people need to wake up. Stop believing everything you see on the media. I received a book today that I listened to this gentleman. He was talking on a video, and it was called Power of the Mind by Steve Hassan. And they show you, this book tells you how to control your mind with the media and about different cults, how they brainwash into these cults and everything, and how to free your mind from all these things. Start seeing the other side. So, you know, there's a lot of good information out there, and we just gotta learn how to read. I was listening to Francis Quest Wilson on a video this morning, and this is from some years ago. And everybody, I don't know if everybody knows who Francis Quest Wilson is. She was a black psychiatrist. She passed away recently, and she was wrote a book called The ISIS Papers and several other books. But she was saying on that video that what's wrong with our people, only 1 in 10 of our people read, and 9 of 10 white people read. So, you know, think about that. And you know, I don't know if it's true to this time, but just, I know there are people that read, but most people are just caught up on watching things on their phone and being entertained with the media and everything. A lot of people don't read, while a lot of people are misinformed and don't know what's going on in this world. We have to read. We have to research. We have to have information. So I just wanted to say that, because we have to learn how to become informed. When you have information, when you have knowledge, you have power. But if you don't have any of those things, you have no power, you're left in the dark, and they can control you, manipulate your mind, and do anything they want with you. So we got to wake up and start to see the light, smell the coffee, or whatever. I just wanted to share that, Brother Boris. Hopefully Professor Jeffries is ready to come on. Looking forward to hear, whatever history he wants to share with us, because this man is so knowledgeable. He is so knowledgeable. He's a walking history book. So hopefully he'll be on soon for us. Do we have any word yet? You there for us?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah.
Okay.
Is he on yet?
I had to mute it because I just got a call on my cell phone from his assistant, Charles. And he said he's trying to get through. So I just told him if he couldn't get through, then it'll have to go. I might have to give Jay the number to call. All right. By the way, speaking of call, brother, because I don't. Do you still have the number that Brother Wilder gave you for Brother Jeffries?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
I have
you
both.
May have to, yeah, you may have
Let
to give it the 7973. But while you're doing that, brother, I'm going to piggyback off of what you said, because I know Brother Michael has the book on Dr. Fauci on Audible. Brother Michael, would you care to share what you've learned so far in the book or whatever you'd like to talk about until we get Professor Jeffries on?
All right. Thank you, Forrest. And
thank you.
Thank you, Richard, for your words. Dr. Fauci should be hung for treason.
Thank you.
For what he has done to the American people and people all around the world because he influences us, this man should be hung. And he should be made an example of that no one can do what he's doing to humanity. In the book, I'm just listening to it, and the first part of the book, they talk about how he's lied, how he's violated the law, and then how he ran around ivermectin and hydrochloroquine that could have saved 80% of the people who died didn't have to die. 80% of the people who died didn't have to die. What type of monster does this to humanity? And this man is influencing people. We have a battle going on if you should get vaccinated or not. And people are vaccinating their kids, 2, 3 years old. Kids have natural immunity. There's no reason in God's green earth to vaccinate a child. There is no reason to put this poison, because it's poison. They won't even announce what's in the vaccine. Now, just use your mind and use your common sense. If they're pushing this vaccine so hard on everybody, why is Congress, the Senate and the Congress, why are they banned and their families are banned from having to take the vaccine? Just something to think about. Because if they're banned to take the vaccine, but they're telling all us to run out like sheeple and get the vaccine and saying, yes, master, give me the vaccine, poison me, take away my tax money, shut down our society, shut down us from communicating and having mind contact with people. All the things that we need as human beings, they take this away from us, and we sheepishly submit to it. So, I mean, when you read the book or listen to it, as thank God for Audible, because I have a little bit of a vision impairment, so I have, just to give you my a little bit, I have over 230 books on Audible. So I can get my information. So, I listen to books all the time. And right now, and I'm sure I'm going to come back, I'll probably talk about this at New Year's Eve and I have a little bit more time. But the big question is, we're always in a battle. And we're in a battle with ourselves. That battle is, are we going to be selfish or are we going to serve the Most High within us and become that Most High, become into that path of enlightenment. And so it is time for us to realize that by believing in certain things, whatever you believe in, that is you giving away your power. Believe in yourself. Believe in the goodness. Believe in your heart. Because instead of trying to manifest things, try to manifest what is hidden in your heart. Try to manifest the love that is hidden in your heart. Try to manifest this. And you see all things will open up to you. You will see that you have a paradise here on earth. You will see that the creation of your life is what you create. And the more that you realize yourself, the more that you go into higher consciousness, the more when you align yourself with the enlightened principles, which are the principles of the divine, the more freedom and everlasting goodness you will have in all your life. So this is where I'm at now. But I recommend strongly the book, The Real Anthony Fauci, because you will see what a monster he is. And just think about it. For our president to reappoint him. It's all a scheme. Like I said, why is Congress exempt from the vaccination? And they're pushing it on everybody's throat so hard, down everybody's throat so hard. Just answer yourself that question. If you can come up with a good answer of why they try to run this hypocrisy on us, because we don't know ourselves. And that's what I mean. When we start to go into the battlefield of and stop being selfish and start working for the higher self and the higher good of everyone, learning how to give of the self instead of taking for the self, we will find that inner peace, and we will do it collectively, and we will bring about the golden age. So that's my saying. That's what I'd like to say for tonight. And I hope Brother Jeffries is on, because it's going to be very exciting. And again, thank you for allowing me to speak, and bless everybody on the podcast. No matter what you celebrate, celebrate and give. Give. Make somebody happy. Bring a smile to somebody's face. Share your love. Share your energy. And just be the beautiful blessing that you were born to be. All right.
Well, thank you, Brother Michael, for that. Now y'all see why the brothers are part of the podcast team here. Grown Folks Talking, Express Yourself. That's Brother Michael Collins. And I'm not going to put Sister Carolyn on the chopping block unless she wants to say some words, because we're still trying to get through to the podcast family is aware of this, and it might be a little problem, because if you have a T-Mobile or I forgot the other company name for the other carrier for the phone, but sometimes people have a problem getting in, so that's why we tell them to tap the link to listen to the show. But lately we've been having some people have texted me and told me they have problems with T-Mobile trying to get through to this particular network. Why? I don't know. Even my technician will tell you when he has his podcast on Friday nights, some people can't get through because it's T-Mobile or the other company. But anyway, Sister Carolyn, I'm not going to leave you out there stranded now. Is there anything you'd like to say, a couple of words, until we get the professor on?
Oh, my.
You got to stand up for the ladies out there now. Come on, Carolyn.
Yes. All right. Well, just in listening to, first of all, thank you for having me on as one of the panelists, Forrest. Mm-hmm. I appreciate you. And mm-hmm. coming behind my big brother, that's a lot with what Fauci is doing. And I myself look at this whole pandemic and you know, people say they want to get back to normal, but I don't believe we're supposed to get back to what things were, that we have to change. And the change, I think what Michael is talking about, looking within ourselves, the change has to come from within ourselves. And the thing about the shutdown time, that time families were to come back together, because we're broken down. The family unit is broken down. And we were given time to come back together, because the family unit is the core unit.
Hold up, y'all. Jay, I'm backstage. Kyle?
No, you can't. We live. You can't do it backstage.
Oh, okay. Oh, we live. Okay. Hold on, family. Trying to get Professor Jeffries. Carolyn, hold on for 1 minute, dear.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Hello, Dr. J.
Dr. J, this is Forrest Nance. You're live on Grown Folks Talking, Express Yourself. We've been waiting for you, Doc.
Well, the thing is, a lot of people have been waiting for me. They've been waiting up in heaven for me to come on up, and I ain't ready yet. And some people down in hell hoping that I'll make a move down there. I ain't ready for that yet. I'm still here trying to kick butt up in the in the atmosphere of the planet.
Uh-huh. Well, my,
so how you doing?
I'm doing fine, sir. My teacher's up there waiting for you. Mary Baraka, peace and blessings be upon his soul.
Oh, that's right. I'm looking at his picture right now on my organ there. It says, long live the spirit of a Mary Baraka Organization for Progress. That's Larry Ham's organization.
Yeah, that's Larry. I was talking to Larry not too long ago. That's my man. We had him on the podcast. Brother Jeffries, we have on our panel Brother Rashad, Brother Michael, and Sister Carolyn. Brother Rashad, you want to? Well, anyway, brother, we got to get going because there's so many things. The podcast audience is listening. They're eager to hear what you have to say. Brother Rashad, I know that you wanted to open up by asking Professor Jeffries a question or questions.
Yes. Good evening, Professor Jeffries.
Yes, good evening, brother. It's good to meet you in the airways, even though I'd rather see you personally so I can really size you up. But go ahead.
You've met me one time before through Brother Wally up there in Irvington when he had that little studio.
Okay.
That grand opening that time. And
yeah, well, give him a call. Give him a call and tell him you talked to me on this this extended line. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, he's listening right now.
Oh, okay. Well, I got work for him, so he needs to keep in touch. I need some photography work and some other things. And, of course, we were able to purchase from him a replica of King Tut's coffin. And so we're going to use that.
Pictures of it, and it was beautiful.
It is. It's going to be a centerpiece of our putting our collection together so we can offer it to one of our black universities down in Baltimore, Morgan State.
Oh, great.
And,
that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's very nice. But anyway, my question, I'd like you to speak on I read a couple books, one by David Imhotep, the first Americans Were Africans, and then another book, When Rocks Cry Out, by Horace Butler, and of course, you know, Ivan Van Sertima's book that came before Columbus. Can you maybe speak to that, how the original inhabitants of America were Africans?
Well, the beautiful thing is they have an exhibit now at the Metropolitan Museum in New York, one of our most important museums on Fifth Avenue, and it's dealing with civilization. And it's the exhibit is that Africa is the mother of the world civilization. Now, that's as heavy a statement as you're going to get. All of the interplay and interaction and who said what and who published this and who did, all of that has been in play. I'm 75 years old, and that has been 75, I took 10 years off. I'm 85 years old, and that has been in an interplay in my life. But now the museum has exhibited the definitive question that Africans laid the foundation for human civilization. And the people are coming in and out of that museum, and not a single black soul did I see. Chinese, everybody is taking their children to see an exhibit that acknowledges our primacy in the world. All the things Imhotep and others put together, and what Dr. Ben was talking about, Dr. Clark and Shekhanta Diop, all of that has now been resolved as far as the European scholars are concerned, and Africa is the foundation of the human family. So that meant Africa is the birthplace, but then Africans marched out of the birthplace going east, and they peopled Asia. They got in whatever would cross the ocean, and they made the crossing, as Van Sertima was trying to say, and they peopled the New World. And so we have to see that this is our day. One of the greatest days in my life, and I've had a fantastic life, the likes of which very few people have had, and to have it culminated in the drizzling rain with hundreds and hundreds of people going in, not paying no attention to the rain, going in to look at an exhibit that acknowledges Africa, the birthplace of humanity and the birthplace of high culture and civilization. You know, so whatever books you have, you need to expand your library, because most of you aren't readers, and you need to go into some reading academies to learn how to read, how to peruse a book. But if you're doing some research, then you approach it a little differently, and you have your notepad out, etc. What happened today, I'm looking at Dick Gregory now, and he got a grin on his face. And I'm saying, yes, Dick, it was fantastic to be in New York this evening in the rain. And right next to Dick is my buddy Alex Haley. And there's Alex looking in Dick's face, and I say, yes, Alex, the real deal has now been on display in New York. And under Alex is an award I received from Marcus Garvey's organization. So there's an image of Marcus Garvey. And then below Marcus Garvey is his son, Marcus Garvey Jr., who lived four blocks from here. I passed his house the other day. He left us last year and has joined the ancestors, but Marcus Garvey Jr. was one of my buddies. And then, of course, on the photo near Amiri Baraka, Long Live the Spirit, is Dr. Jeffrey standing with his partners, the twin power brothers, Dr. Yosef Benyakinen and Dr. John Henry Clark.
Mm-hmm.
So just the walk around this house is a statement. You come in the door, there's a black Jesus and Marcus Garvey welcoming you into our place. And then on the other side, you got the Emperor Haile Selassie saying, welcome into the Jeffreys abode. And then as soon as you take two steps in there, there's a Kente cloth from Ghana that I got from Africans coming over to Brooklyn a couple of weeks ago. And it says, beyond the return, beyond the return. In other words, last year or so, Ghana invited people to come to Ghana to the return. Now they're saying we have to think in terms of the centuries ahead of us. So it's not just coming for a return, going to the slave fort and dungeons, or to meet the Ashanti kings and whatnot, or the queen mothers, or even party. But no, we've got to go beyond the return and reclaim our destiny. And that was done tonight, brother. I'm looking over at Malcolm. Yes, Malcolm, throwing up a black power fist at Malcolm. He's grinning like a little chessy cat because he got his two daughters on his knee, Attila and Gambella. And then you got a serious chessy cat, a show-off. And he is standing there with a shit-eating grin on his face, and he's a Capricorn, so you know he's got to be wrong, even though he's right when he gets it right. And he had nerve enough to let the world know that he was the greatest. Now, he didn't know there was a Len Jeffries running around, but no, he did. I met him on 116th Street at the Muslim restaurant years ago. And his brother read me spiritually and allowed me to go in and shake his hand. His brother was his bodyguard. So there is a picture of Malcolm with his two oldest daughters. And Muhammad Ali has my one is very close to me. And she is Ilyasha. And she's the one that does the writing. And she's the one that has that teaching like her mother, Sister Betty Shabazz. She was a teacher. She was an educator. She was an administrator. She was a nurse. She was a multi-trained person. So you're looking at, I'm telling them all that the victory is at hand, and it was manifest in New York, and it will be there for some time. And I wore my crown that I'm looking a few feet over from Malcolm and Muhammad Ali. Is Dr. J with his gold and his crown, a green gold, and wearing one of his biggest Kente cloths, and that was at an installment in Ghana. And then not too far from them is right below that photo is me showing off in the mountains of Brazil with the spirit of Zumbi of Palmares. And that's when I went up to the mountain like we regularly do every other year. We go to Brazil and we go up to the mountain where the spirit of Zumbi is in the revolution that black people had in Brazil. But one of my times I went up, I flew from Rio or one, I flew from the south up to the northeast and you come to Maceió. And then from Maceió, you land at the airport and then you take a train from the port all the way to the foot of the mountains. And then when you get to the foot of the mountains, you come off the train and then you take a bus that takes you up into the mountains. And so I did like I usually do, and I was on that bus, but that bus was so shaky, I told the people, I said, you got to stop. I got to get off this bus. It's not going to make it up the mountain. And half the bus got off with me. And it took us a couple more hours, but we walked up to the top of the mountain. And when I got up to the top of the mountain, these women were there to greet us, a dozen women in white. And they got together and saw me coming up the mountain, and they said, the spirit of Zumbi has returned. And then they went, they talked to the Babalao, and they said, we've got to do the ceremony over again. And they did. The picture is there. Don't have to fake it. Don't have to hide it. And they gave me the Ogum beads. After they did the ceremony, they gave me the Ogum beads of the fighting spirit of the Yoruba that was planted in Brazil. And I took those beads and that medallion, and when a few months later I had my trial in New York, I made sure I had the Ogum beads there. And when the state of New York and the city of New York and the city University of New York, when their lawyers tried to question me, they gave me a break, and I went into the bathroom and I put on all my protective African stuff. The rings that the Queen Mother Priestess, who protects the golden stool in Ghana, gave me. The necklace that was especially given during the trip to Brazil. And then a Babalao came out of the woodwork and he joined us, and he was with us for 20 years to give us his protection, Taiwo from Nigeria. And Taiwo actually had, for my trial, he had a special blue and white Yoruba robe made. And so I wore all of that at the trial. And then when I was being cross-examined, I had the Nana Kamati Deni Zulu's protection. He gave it to me. I had the beads from the Ogun beads from Brazil. In other words, I was making sure that I wasn't sitting up on that trial by myself. I had the security of knowing that the ancestors and the symbols of our ancestry were with me. And so today for us to see that blazed across this humongous museum and hundreds if not thousands of people walking in and out, we've got to let our people know that you need to, but you have to have the shots. So you have to, if you have the shots, you can call up the museum and set up a visit. And so you all caught me at the right time simply because I'm so high, I don't know what to do off of my African stuff. And then there's the goddess Nut in glory stretched across the sky, there are the stars, the sun, passing through her body. And so she swallows the sun as it sets, and she gives birth to the sun in the morning. And so these, and then right in before her is a coffee table. It's and in it are the two, on it are two magnificent images of the Obas of Benin, male principal and female principal. And then when you leave the living room here and you go into my wife's working space with the computers and all, there is a picture, not a picture, a clay pottery of the Oni of Ife. So when you come into this house and you're trying to get your work together and your ideas together, you got them connected to the ancestors. So the Oni is looking at you. And we met him. Well, I've met three Onis. But this Oni bus that we have, we met him in East Orange, New Jersey. And then we went into New York and Manhattan to the City Hall. Because he was being honored there. And then that evening, he wanted me to come up to his hotel on next to Grand Central Station. And so we were up in his room to 4 in the morning, making these connections, brothers and sisters. You need to connect to your great ancestral processes. And so what you hear me talking about is the reality of it all. When you go through the dining room where my wife has her computer and whatnot set up and you see the Oni and other things on the table, including images of the first Africans in South Africa and then the Dogon image, sculpture. But then when you look on the wall across from the dining room table, you'll see African majesty. The top photo is a photo of Atufo, Opokuwari II, of Ghana. A long line of African leaders coming out of that tradition. And then he is holding his arm out, which is all of his gold jewelry and symbolism on his arm. And then in the picture below him is the Emperor Haile Selassie. So these two brothers, Emperor Haile Selassie and Atufo Opokuwari II of Ghana, have been a part of my mix personally, being involved and attached to their work and their spirituality. The Ashanti King developed a personal relationship that had his own people shocked, because the king is supposed to keep a distance, but he felt, reading my spirit, that he needs to pull me to his bosom, just as the Ashanti priestess adopted me as part of her family. And she sent her son-in-law, a brilliant brother, Menes, and his wife, she sent them to us, going to America to go to school. They weren't sent to Ashanti people. They were sent to be with us, and they lived with us for a time, and then when they got their own address, they still use our address as their address. So these family relationships are real, and we need to tap into it and stay away from the unnecessary fights and conflicts of who does this and who does that, and you don't know that, and your mama didn't know this. And we have to pull a global cosmic African family together. And so when we have these meetings like you have tonight, that's a part of the process. When you have an affair like I had tonight in the rain, nothing was going to keep me away. The rain, and it didn't keep the whites and the Asians away. It wasn't going to keep me away. And then luckily, the brother who drove me from Teaneck, we went by his mother's house and father's house, and his brother, his son was there, and his brother, and they're as and deep roots in the Caribbean, but they've been raised here. Mother used to work at ABC. Today was her birthday, so I went in to help them celebrate the 75th birthday. And so I told her, I said, well, you're a youngster. In a couple of weeks, I'll be celebrating my 85th. And hopefully I will be able to celebrate it in Egypt, because we have plans to go to Egypt. If the Creator wants it to happen, will be February, which is my mother's birthday, and she's responsible for all of this. February 14th is her birthday, and so we'll be in Egypt during that time in the Nile Valley.
Well, my brother Jeffries, I think you asked Brother Rashad's question there, you know, because I want to ask you a question after everybody else goes, because we got a little panel here, because I'm not strong enough to handle you, brother. You would suck my brain dry, look like a prune if I had to think of all the questions I need to ask you. But
no,
Brother
but
Michael,
what we do out of love. If we whip your ass, just like your mother and father used to say, this is hurting me, well, what did it hurt you?
I remember that, along with other sayings, too, along with that belt on my butt when I did something wrong. By the way, Brother Michael, you have something for our Professor Jeffries?
Yes, I do. Professor Jeffries, it's an honor to listen to you and hear how you connected all the ancestors together. Just in the coming ages, as we prepare, as the world gets prepared to come into the golden age, what are some of the references from Africa that we need to know that are going to connect our spirits back to Mother Nature, so that when we do resume our rulership, we will be able to rule with the grace and the dignity and the justice that everybody looks for?
We won't be able to do it. We have to go through change transformation in order to do it. We've been too messed with by the European systems, and that includes the pseudo-European systems of the Arabs. I'm not talking about anybody's religious faith. I'm saying that we need baths, we need ritual baths, we need baths to drain out the poison that runs through our veins that has been put in by these strange people around us that we didn't have the wisdom to keep out of our way. We invited them in the house. And when you invite the devil in the house, you better keep all the windows open, because you may have to jump out of a window. And so we thought we was in heaven when we went and invited them into our house to share. They said, well, this is perfect. We're going to take your land. We're going to take your women. We're going to take your babies. But more important, we're going to take your tradition. And we're going to make your tradition work for us. So we need to have ritual baths. Now, that may not be a physical bath, but it's got to be a psychological bath. And we need to, if we can go into some sacred water, like you can, these people in the U.S. created the Atlantic Ocean baths. They, in their white, and they go to Coney Island, and there'll be 1,000 black people dipping their feet in the Atlantic Ocean, because it's ours, you know. It's ours. So we have a lot to do. Nothing is going to be easy,
And if I wanted to sell you some juju, you need to check it out, because I'm not no juju maker. So why would I be selling you juju? I want to sell you knowledge. I want to sell you the truth. So when you see me, I want you to show me a book, and I don't want to hear no book about some sexual relationship of this or that of the women of Atlanta, or Tyler Perry's big joke. He needs to stop that joke. When I see him, I'm telling him, look, do some serious work. Take those millions and millions of dollars. Use that studio that you have in Atlanta that used to be a military base for African soldiers. Put the story of the African warrior, the African genius, the African queen mother. Take Madea out. You've done enough with Madea. And so I like to be able to grab him. He's bigger than I am, so I'd have probably step on my tippy toes, but I like to grab him by the throat and brother, get real, you know.
Right.
And luckily I have a millionaire family in Atlanta, the Bronner brothers and the rest. And so I could get to, and I will if I live long enough, get to him and say, brother, with the Bronner's family roots, with his roots planted at that fort there to put a film thing, we need to tell the real story of black people. If they can put it in the Metropolitan Museum, if they can put a temple of blackness on the lawn and at in front of the Washington Memorial, then our people need to say, we're going to carry it further. We're going to carry it further. That museum that they have in Washington is extraordinary. And even the design of the building comes out of the Yoruba tradition. And so we need, and then of course, we don't have to name and claim the Washington Monument. Anybody in the world knows that Washington Monument is the sacred big penis. And everybody know when we compare penises on a level of spirituality, the big black penis stands ahead of everything else. I don't know what the Chinese and Mao Zedong got. I don't know what Tojo and the Prince of Japan got. I don't know what the Arab got. But I know the biggest penises in the world have been extracted from the earth by black people. In fact, the tallest tombstone in the cemetery where my grandfather, murdered by the Klan, is buried, the tallest tombstone is in Tekken, is that obelisk, is that Washington Monument. And there across the monument are the vital statistics. Jesse Jeffries, born in July 17th, I think. No, Jesse Jeffries, born in August the 10th, in the week of Marcus Garvey's birth, but he went to the ancestral realm in July the 16th or so. He was murdered. But the family was able to bury him properly and put this fantastic imagery. And that's the imagery that I had to, that's the power, that imagery. I had to go to that when Alex Haley cut me loose. And he went for the money. And he castrated me in front of these white boys. Now, I don't want our women, the female sisters there, to think I'm dealing with some pornography. I'm not. I'm trying to say that Alex Haley was saved by Leonard Jeffries. I met him a week or two after I met Dick Gregory. I met him all in San Jose, California. And that's when I was asked to go out to San Jose and set up the Black Studies Department. San Jose is more than just a new city that became the center of the computer manufacturing. San Jose is the sacred seat of a movement called the Rosicrucian Movement. And the Rosicrucian Movement is tied to the Nile Valley. And it's tied to a royal family that is Akhenaten, the pharaoh, and Nefertiti, the wife and queen. Say that again. I didn't hear you. I kind of missed it.
All right. So I'm the only one here?
No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Hello? Somebody's got to mute yourself. You're talking in the background. Brother Jeffrey's giving us his lecture.
Oh, not a lecture. Go. I'm putting out some
put out some miles. Okay, brother. I'm sorry.
Yeah, some jewels. Some pearls.
It's a genius lecture, but I'm enjoying it. But I'm sorry if I use the wrong word. My part. Pardon me, brother Jeffrey. Go ahead.
No. In other words, we have to understand how important is the culture we've inherited, and we've got to make it work for ourselves. So I'm saying I went out to San Jose because Dr. Clark had us go out there to fight for the African truth. And so the people had a chance to see me in 68 out there. And then later, when they wanted to, a year later, when they wanted to put up their Black Studies department, they asked me to come out, and they asked James Turner, Ronald Walter, a number of outstanding brothers, but they picked me to head their Black Studies program. And we didn't realize it, that San Jose is also the seat of the Rosicrucian movement. And that's that symbol of rebirth and resurrection that comes out of the Nile. So that I was there for 3 years, and then I left it, came on back to the roots here in Jersey and New York, and my wife was in New York. So we came back, but that San Jose experience was fabulous because a person like Dr. Kwame Nkrumah was influenced by the Rosicrucian movement. Dr. Kuma, what are you saying, Dr. Jeff? That the brother, some of the key leaders of Africa are Rosicrucian. And so there's an underlying force of Rosicrucianism that's in Africa, all over the continent, everywhere you go. And so that's something that we've got to be aware of and make it work for us. Now, there's a Rosicrucian headquarters there, and they have a sample of a sandstone palace. And, of course, they have the obelisk there. But they also have initiation, and you can be initiated into the Rosicrucian movement. And of course, our elder Dr. Ben was trying to tell us that we need to get into a deeper movement than the Rosicrucians. That's the European attempting to get a part of the African value system. He says, but if you really want to get into the mystery systems, then you need to go to the Nile Valley itself. And he said he had the key to getting us into the Nile. And so Dr. Ben did work his magic, and many of us went to the Nile with him. And, of course, he had rituals and ceremonies there. He set up an organization called The Craft. And some people are involved in it even to this day. He lets us know that the institutions and organizations are not just to the glory of an individual, but they were with to the glory of this knowledge that we need in order to resurrect the human spirit. And that's what we need. But Dr. Jeffries, I can't give up my Christianity. Certainly not the Protestant. I got to hang on to my Protestant. And I can't give up the cathedrals of the Catholic Church. In fact, I ain't gonna give up. Can't give up the Holy Land and Mecca. And so we got a problem. And the problem is deep because we need to include all of that and put the focus on who began all of that and who helped to inspire all of that. Well, Dr. J, I've been to Mecca, like your buddy, Professor Small, and that was a transformative experience. In fact, Malcolm went, and he was transformed. I believe even Muhammad Ali may have been given an honorary status. But at any rate, we need to give thanks that there is this light that's now growing stronger and stronger, and that we need to make ourselves join it, you know. And that doesn't mean you give up your church, you give up your Jesus, you give up your Muhammad. No, weave it all together into a fire of renewal and sacrifice that you're prepared to make in order to get deep into this rebirth and resurrection. Somebody else should have a question.
Yes, sir. Sister Carolyn, it's your turn.
Yes, yes. Dr. Jeffries, it's a pleasure to be on with you, and thank you for your words of wisdom. I have a question that I have five young people that I gave birth to. They're all in their 20s at this point in time. And in some ways, I feel like I never gave them enough of our history. You know, we're in a school district where the majority of the students did not look like them. And and I just feel like there's a piece missing. None of them were interested in going to HBCUs. I look at my girls with the extensions and what have you in the hair and this, that, and the other. It's a sort of a denial even of their own beauty. And some days I look and I say, now how can I try and reverse this or get this to a better place? I remember when I bought my daughter a black Barbie one time, and she wanted the white Barbie, and I realized her best friend was, she wanted the one that was pink with yellow hair. You know, she was a little girl, and that best friend was pink with yellow hair. So, you know, it's like it's an ongoing struggle, and I'd just like to hear your thoughts around that and how we can try and hone in and bring our children to their true selves.
Well, you have to, simply because we're talking about generations. We're not talking about just your children or your grandchildren. We're talking about generations of Africans who mastered how you deal with life in the stratosphere. And so you can't blame yourself. You created the miracle is the miracle of birth. And then coming out of the womb, we never know. You know, it's a challenge of raising children. And so you did what you were supposed to do, and you weren't even supposed to do it by yourself. There should be a whole family network of aunties and uncles and people that are not even blood that help you raise those children, so that you can't even take the responsibility of it being something that you were responsible for. Hillary Clinton took one of our sayings and put it up there for the world. It takes a village to raise a child. But that's not the African saying. The African saying is it takes a whole village to raise the child. In fact, I am what I am because of the village in Roseville, district in Newark. That was our village. And there were people coming up out of other villages, such as the village that Amiri Baraka came out. He may not have read it as deep as I would read it, but he came out of a community that was prepared to work together to raise these youngsters. When I say that 14th Street where we lived, 15th Street was East Orange. So my family, that 15th Street, 16th Street, Sussex Avenue, that was the East Orange part of the village. And then you go into the Down Neck area, and Dr. J, you're not going to try to put the Down Neck area into the African and village concept. I said, yes, I am. In fact, they built a village, and they called it Riverview Court. They built another village, and they called it Pennington Court. Pennington Court was where our great brother, the head of the council in Newark, Donald Tucker, he grew up in the African village in Pennington Court. The people took care of each other. They even had a African village in the middle of Newark called Baxter Terrace, and that was named after the black principal of the only black school in Newark, the father of Miss Grace Baxter Fenderson. Baxter Terrace became an African village. And of the 100 kids I grew up with, 90 of us made it. Big. How can that be? You mean Newark, New Jersey, poor as Newark, New Jersey, all these factories and pollution in Newark, New Jersey, Newark, New Jersey with all these immigrants? Yes. The village in Roseville, Spellman across the street from me, Robert Spellman, he's still teaching at Essex County. Been teaching there for 6 years, some ridiculous amount of time. My mother and father stood for them, his mother and father, when they got married. And so it was that type of a relationship. And his mother was the daughter of one of our Holy Ghost great preacher men. And so you got all kinds of spiritual things connected to create the village. You know, and you're looking to go up into the mountains, in the South Orange Mountains, I'm saying cracker with affection. You know, when I use the term cracker, it's with affection, you know, because I used to like crackers. When I grew up, we had berry biscuits and places like that. Our people working down there, they brought us home crackers, and then my father would bring in the ice cream, so we had crackers and ice cream. We had M&M candies. That was a part of Newark, the industrial zone. M&M candies. I mean, some of us got to work this history. Raz is too busy running the city. His father was too busy expanding out into the readership of the world, and he left his legacy there in Brooklyn. I mean, in New York and others. I mentioned Brooklyn because my brother is planted his seed. He's raised his two great sons in Brooklyn, and he's always wanted to develop a dojo because he's into heavy martial arts, African martial arts in Brooklyn. And I said, Jeff, we're moving up in age. You don't need to be breaking no blocks of concrete and stuff like that. You know, but for years he was doing it up in White Plains. The dojo was in White Plains. So I'm saying we have to move away from this trick that the white boy got us in worshiping his life and culture and lifestyle. And so we have to step into reading our history and seeing what inspired Ufuat Bwini, the president of the Ivory Coast. He was the elder of the French-speaking Africans, and then his next-door neighbor was Kwame Nkrumah. So Ufuat Bwini, the elder, and Kwame Nkrumah had a rivalry. Who could build the biggest and the baddest new city of God? And Nkrumah tried his best, and he actually completed it. And they gave him the keys. And within the days of getting the keys to this new city of God that he built, paying homage to Pan-Africanism and to African socialism, the CIA took him out. using African military, using African police, using the rivalries in Ghana between the North and the South, the Northern Muslims with the Southern traditionalists. And so I was there at the time that they took Nkrumah out. Dr. Jeffries, how could you be there when Nkrumah was taken out? I was there, brother. I was there. My wife and I had just completed a 13-nation tour of West Africa, all the way down to the Congo. And the Congo Brazzaville and Bangui, the republic on the Congo Ocean, where our brother Theophile Obanga comes from, that area. But so we had visited 12 of 13 nations, and by the time I got to Ghana, I was tired. So I told Rosalind, I said, let's go home to Ivory Coast. We can come back to Ghana by road, which we often did. And so we got in the plane. Plane was lifting up. I can still see it. I'm looking out the window to my left, and there is a flood of light. And that flood of light was the only toll road in Africa that Nkrumah had built, linking Tema, the new city, with the capital, Accra. And so that was a toll road. And then as the plane grew higher and higher in the air, floating out in the ocean, ready to make the turn up toward the Ivory Coast, I looked down and I saw a burst of light, the biggest burst of light I've ever remember seeing in my life. And it was the new African headquarters for a United States of Africa that Nkrumah was completing. They called it Job 600. There would be suites for all of the African leaders. There would be a parliament, a legislative building. So he was actually successfully building for our future. And white folks took it out from under him when he got on the plane, not to Kumasi to get a royal wife from the Akan rival people. The Fanti and the Ashanti were rivals. You can solve that rivalry by having marriages from the two competing groups, and the marriage joins them. But what Nkrumah did, he wanted to link with Pan-Africanism and African socialism, so he went to Gamal Nasser across the continent and got himself a bride from Egypt. Now, that was a big leap he was making, but most people were saying, well, why would he not take a bride from his own nation? Why would he go? Well, he was trying to link up with his brother, Gamal Nasser, who started this African revolution by the revolution they had in Egypt. And that set the spark of this revolution. They thrown off of the yoke of the European, Gamal Nasser and Naguib, the first black people to rule Egypt in 2,000 years, these black soldier men. And so that's what our brother was linking with Nkrumah. I would have preferred him to go up to Kumasi and get a royal Ashanti wife, and that would have given him protection. It would have protected his back, because the Ashanti would then provide their military support for him and not use it against him. And so this is too deep for some of y'all, but I got to get it off my chest as I lay it out there. And but interesting enough, Nkrumah had enough Pan-Africanism to save the Guinea Revolution, because in 1919, you had the revolution in Egypt. 1963, you had stuff going on in Iran. 1964, you had Dembe Anfu. 1965, you had the struggle in 1965, you had the Afro-Asiatic nations calling a summit in Indonesia. And they all went to this African Asian new explosion of nation building. They met and they set up the Bandung Conference. And then 66, you had the explosions taking place in West Africa. And by 67, it was spreading. 66 was 50s. Now, 50, we need to go back into the 50s. In the 50s, and Nkrumah, 57, Ghana, 58, Guinea, 59, Cuba, 60, 30 African nations independent, including Nigeria, including the Congo, including all of French-speaking, most of French-speaking Africa. And then, so, yeah, I was 10 years ahead. I should have been 10, gone back another 10 years. So it was 52 that Gamal Nasser and Naguib overthrew King Farouk in Egypt and established that pattern of independence that broke out in North Africa with Tunisia and Algeria and eventually West Africa with and Nkrumah and other nations and eventually into French-speaking Africa. So that's part of the book that I'll have to write out and make these linkages because I actually was living in Africa at that time. My wife in 1960, she was there at the independence celebration of Nigeria. 1960, I was 59, 60, I was in Paris in Switzerland studying the world. And in Paris, I went to support Cheikh Anta Diop. And in 59-60 is when, for the third time, he was defending a dissertation in order to get the doctorate. And this time told me to leave Switzerland, where I was studying, and to go to Paris. And I said, wait a minute. I haven't left anything in Paris. I spent some little time there. I don't need it. And Spirit said, no, you need to go to Paris. So luckily, I listened to Spirit and got on a midnight train and went to Paris. And that's when they were celebrating Dr. Cheikh Anta Diop's defense of his dissertation, the third one he had to defend. And so I was in Paris at that time and met his mentor. It's a beautiful couple. Alain Diop and his wife developed a printing house think tank session called Presence Africaine. It's right next to near the Sorbonne, which is a pillar temple where Diop had to go to defend his dissertation. And then on the other side of Presence Africaine, the think tank bookstore publishing house, you have the Collège de France. That's the French undergraduate, a pillar temple. That's the French built in the Greek style. That's the French undergraduate degree. And so history has just allowed me to be in these places at this time. And so I, Cheikh Anta Diop, from 1959-60 to today, and his work, his name is mentioned in this great celebration in New York. So he for years he was pushed aside. Even the Africans were afraid that he was too strong, too black, too strong. His Senghor tried to neutralize him. I sent a ticket for him to come to America, Cheikh Anta Diop, to participate in our conference on early civilization, but he couldn't make it because Senghor refused to let him get a visa to leave the country. And so they had their rivalry. But even with their rivalry, they had to have some respect because when they had the World Festival in 66 or 60, Rouse and I, we went to it. We left our apartment in Abidjan, and we traded for an apartment in Senegal, and that's when they had this first world conference honoring two great scholars, W.E.B. Du Bois and Cheikhanta Diop. But Cheikhanta Diop was banned by this rivalry with Senghor. He could not teach at the university, but he did have a research center next to the main gate of the university, and that was IFO, the Institute Fundamental de West Africa. And so Diop had a research laboratory right next to the university, but he was kept from teaching because of his personal rivalry. But as it would happen, he was able to stay the course, and eventually not only did he have a chance to teach at the university has four campuses in the different parts of Senegal, and the collective campus has been named after Cheikhanta Diop. So these type of historical linkages are part of my experience, and so I'm glad I went out tonight to name it and claim it. And so I might be a little confused in presenting it to y'all, but I'm telling y'all there's some heavy, heavy history going on, and you don't need Marvin Gaye to be telling you about it. You need to get some of these books, build a library, understand the whole concept of a new city of God. For me, the new city of God for the modern era is North New Jersey. North New Jersey. But I think, well, what about Jersey City? Well, they had their era when the governor built the medical center, the largest medical complex in the country. He was using money illegally and building it. So Jersey City was the golden age at that point. Newark has become the golden age. 50,000 students in universities. It's a university city. It's a modern, old university city. And then it's got these growing suburbs up into the mountains and up and into the lake areas. And so Newark has an unusual history that needs to be appreciated. And but I don't want to live in Newark because it got too many poor people. Well, poor people are everywhere. But it's spirit people that you really need to deal with. And once we ignite this African spirit into this new wave that Raz Baraka and Chukwe Lumumba and other youngsters like that, they're bringing new fire to burn on these African embers and these African logs of history. So we'll see. We'll see, y'all. It's, some of y'all don't even know what Pennington Court is.
I do.
Okay. In other words, that was one housing projects that was built. And then you had Baxter Terrace, which was a different type of housing project. And then you had Riverview Court down near where I lived for 3 years when my mother and father lost the house on 14th Street. They didn't lose it. Somebody bought it. And then my mother and father went to live on 12th Street with his Aunt Bessie, his aunt, Aunt Bessie, that raised him. And then my mother's family was on 13th Street. So they wanted to stay in the family, but they sent us all the way across Newark to Riverview Court. And who did we go to be with? My second mother was my mother's older sister who helped raise us. And so my brother and I were so glad to go down down next because our cousins, Johnny Boy was there, DC who helped raise us. She was like our third mother. And so we were glad to be down in the projects. But even the projects were segregated. They let black folks in the periphery buildings, and then the center buildings were all white. They just had to keep segregation as a part of the tradition they could. But our people went and lived in those projects, and a family of the Crawfords were there. they lived at number 11 C, and then my family lived above them. Part of my family lived above them, and then part of the family lived in 9. But one of the Whitney Houston's friend Diane or Dinah was in right up under our family, and my mother's youngest sister, they got, her husband was a military man, so they got access to the housing, and they lived in that same apartment, my cousin, who died here a few years ago, but they lived in the same apartment, probably the longest in the history of America, in one apartment. They were able to keep control of that apartment. But what I'm trying to say is there's a history that we need to raise up and make it work, put the negatives aside and grab whatever positives you have and make it work. Betty Shabazz will tell you that's my story. I lost everything when I lost my husband, and I had to go back to the drawing board and create me a new persona. Islam was what I inherited, but now that I have lost my, you know, my relationship with Islam, and I got to figure out how to do what I need to do. And she did it. So she's one of our great sheroes that we need to raise up. And I... ain't that a shame?
Yeah.
Ain't that a shame they got a bell to say, stop that Negro from talking all his mess.
No. Don't say that, Professor. No, we don't think like that. It's just in time constraints. That's all. Time just goes by so fast. No, don't say that, brother. I'm feeling bad now because this is my podcast. And
you have to let me have my little jokes. But don't take them to you.
Okay. I was feeling some kind of way when you said that, Professor Jeffries. But we're gonna bring in one caller. We got someone else who wants to ask you a question or make a statement.
Yes,
Jay, could you bring him in real quick? Because we got 3 minutes left. And also, I just want to let you know, Professor Jeffries, I talked to Charles, and the thing that's coming up in April at NJIT, I'm gonna post it on my Facebook, and we're gonna announce it every time we have the podcast on Saturday. Just want to let you
okay,
know.
Very good. Very all right. Good.
Now go ahead, Jay. Who is it, Jay? Caller, you there?
8338.
Okay. 8338. Go ahead and speak. We got 2 minutes.
Go ahead, brother. Speak.
Or sister. Jay, are they there?
They not saying nothing. 8338.
Not saying nothing. All right, we shut them down because they ain't saying nothing. They got an earful. They should have took notes. So on that note, Professor Jeffries, I'm gonna bring you back again, brother. I'm gonna stay in contact with Charles because we were talking at length yesterday. In fact, I'm bringing Charles on because I told him I want to give him a slot because he was talking about his Pan-African
organization
situation in New York.
Right.
So I'm definitely gonna bring that brother on. We're gonna stay in contact with Native North. I was born and raised in North, just like you.
All right. Say it loud.
Yes,
we're
right.
Black
you
and we're proud.
You went the marriage, I went the weak way, but we all one the same.
That's right. And Weak Way had 5 black people when I was going to school in 1955, and 2 of them was my cousin, Sonny Catino and Tiny. He married and Al Adams. Those were 3
Al
of the
Adams,
5 black
him.
People.
The
best
for the Warriors. Player. I remember him.
Yes, he played for the Warriors, and then he coached the Warriors. Al was the one.
I remember.
So we're family.
Guys, you want to give Brother Jeffries a send off, Brother Michael and Sister Carolyn, before we end it?
Yes, thank you, Brother Jeffries. This has been an enlightening hour, and thank you for your time, your energy, and for gathering all this knowledge. It's a blessing. You're a blessing, and may you be blessed.
all your days. Thank you very much. Well, I was up in the stratosphere because after that exhibit in New York, I needed to be brought down to reality. So y'all brought me down to the reality. We still got to work with our people, with our children, with our community.
Sister Cal, you want to say your piece? Go ahead, sis.
Yes, yes. I was just going to – you were talking about Newark. I was going to throw out Lafayette College.
Don't be messing with Lafayette. In other words, when I went to Lafayette, Sunny Green, we had two black people there. My buddy from the Stoops of Newark, when we were doing our little diddy-bop and all the rest of it. Sonny was I got accepted in all of these Ivy League schools, but I went to Lafayette because I wanted to be with a buddy who was with me in the streets of Newark. Sonny Green, he got into engineering. I got into political science because I wanted to go to law school. So Lafayette, yes, I was the president of the Jewish fraternity, one of the leaders of the church, student-run church, the head of this and the head of that. I mean, it was a great experience for me.
Yes, I was there in 77. There were 56 of us.
Okay, wow. So you got the Lafayette route. Oh, wow.
I didn't stay the course. I ended up transferring to Maryland.
ain't nothing wrong with that. You can make your moves, and you make the most of them. I'm trying to transfer some of these books and papers that we have down to Maryland to Morgan State University.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And that's what we're going to offer this collection to them. And then put some of it in the notes.
On that note, we got to go. I got the signal over here.
Peace
and blessings to everyone. Thank you for tuning in. We open on Christmas. Brother Rashad is going to have Death by Medicine. And Brother Jeffries, once again, thank you for coming on. Family, I just want to say.
Okay, it's my pleasure.
Yes, sir. My technician, Jay, he's on Friday nights between 8 and 10 p.m. Just calling the same number. It's called Keeping It Real with Randy J. Sean Jackson. Peace and blessings, everybody. Have a safe week coming up, and we'll see you guys next Saturday. We will be broadcasting, so spread the word. Take care, everybody.
Power to our people. Okay, now. Wow. Thank you much.
Thank you.
I've got so much love. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. Whoa, I think I'm in love again. And here we go again. Don't wanna have another heartbreak, but every time that I see him, we thought she'd take my breath away. Get a grip, and start out with a friendship. Cause sailing with a Moby Dick can sink a ship. Thinking with your head, but you get a shot of one. I remember all the past lessons that you learned from. A 90-day rule, but we rushed it too. In 2 months, we send a text, I love you. In 5 months, became the best of friends. In 7 months, we put our first picture on the gram. On the foundation that we lay and stay stable when nature throws us a curve. But love wins again. Thank you for showing me that I can love again. I'm your homie, your lover, homie, lover, friend. Yeah.
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you. I show the whole world that I love you. When I say I love you, I really do love you. Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you. I show the whole world that I love you. When I say I love you, I really do love you.
It's been 2 years and we still running.
Oh.
To get them butterflies when I see you coming. It's funny how life all works. You gotta open up your heart to operate to see how life works.
Yeah,
when there's rain showers, the sun shines again. Gotta weather every storm just to sail again.
Whoa.
I know the time is now, I gotta do official. I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future is scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the mornings, you won't wanna see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask. Thank you. Will you marry me?
Oh my God. I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.